coaches. Then after you have great coaches, you get great players. You have a great organization. And you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Welcome to another episode of the Just Blog Baby Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Park, and joining me as always is the editor-in-chief of Just Blog Baby, Nick Jeltness, our resident Twitter guru, Ryan Lopes. This week, we have two special guests, Seth Murphy and Tyler Dixon, who co-founded the Big Board Draft, and they're both contributors here on Just Blog Baby. Welcome, fellas.
Howdy.
Yeah, thanks.
Very excited.
A lot of enthusiasm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. We're gonna need you guys to tone it down. You know what I mean?
it's fucking. Everyone relax. Everyone calm down.
All right. Well, before we get started, let's give the floor to both of our enthusiastic guests this week. I've got a question that I've asked every guest so far that we've had on the show, so I'll continue that with you guys. Tyler, we'll start with you because you're a foreigner here, not from the States. So New Zealand, how is it that you became to be a Raiders fan all the way out in New Zealand?
Well, it's kind of a unique to be into American football in New Zealand. So my uncle Ricky actually, well, my dad's uncle Ricky actually played in the NFL, Ricky Ellison. He was a linebacker for the 49ers and played for the Raiders in 1990 and 92. He actually came back with two helmets. He came back with a signed Chiefs helmet that I still have with Derek Thomas. Raiders helmet, and I chose the Raiders, and he told me it was a good choice. So ever since then, I've been a Raiders fan, and just got into American football more and more as I got older, and then it is what it is.
All right, Seth, what about from you? I know you're from like the Reno area, or I know you're there currently. I'm not sure if you're from there, but how is it that you came to be a Raiders fan?
Yeah, well, originally I'm from a small town in eastern Nevada, so geographically there's not really anything too close in terms of professional football teams, but my dad was always a Raiders fan, and, you know, I just kind of followed in his footsteps in that regard, I guess, so Denver would probably actually be closer to us, but I'm happy I never became a Broncos fan.
So this is about to be your hometown team, basically, when they move.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. So, I mean, I'm actually technically closer to Oakland now in Reno than I am Vegas. But, you know, I've always lived in Nevada, so same state. So my home state, I guess, is getting a team, which is pretty cool, but it'll kind of suck not being as close.
Are the fans, like, in your area just all fans of all sorts of different teams, or how do you think the area is going to respond? Like, just a lot of Nevada people going to become Raiders fans, or how do you think that's going to work?
In Reno, they're already mostly Niners and Raiders fans, just because the Bay is so close. And there's a lot of Bay Area transplants. I'd say the majority of the city has some ties to the Bay Area. So I don't really think it'll change much. Maybe more Raiders fans, since they're actually going to be in Nevada. But there's already quite a bit.
Cool. So I guess I'll throw this one out there to both of you. So obviously you guys clearly love talking football, X's and O's, and you both are big fans of the draft and college football and the draft process. So can you guys elaborate a little bit just on your football background? Obviously you guys touched on kind of why you're fans of the Raiders, but just your passion for football in general and what draws you towards, you know, the draft and the draft process.
Well, Darius Heyward Bey, he brought me here.
What a name to start with here.
Never heard of him.
I was going, just getting like fully into American football, and we selected him, and I wanted to dig into why we did, and and the other players that we drafted that year. And then it kind of started to become a habit, and I started reading all the football books. Madden played a big part of it, you know. Just building a love for the game, and then learning from Twitter. Like, as soon as I joined Twitter, you just meet all these football minds that you just wouldn't meet anywhere else. And I've learned from people like Ted and others, and I learn every day on Twitter. And that's the brilliance about football. You can't know it all. Like, there's always something new to learn. So it's just a passion of mine, and become an obsessive hobby, I guess, to go through the draft and write about football.
Anything to add, Seth?
Yeah. And well, just for me, there were kind of a few questions there. But first off, my background in football, I've kind of always been into football, kind of as far back as I can remember, since elementary school. But, you know, I played a little bit in high school, rural Nevada. So, I mean, nothing too crazy. I played 4 years, 4 year letterman. And then my senior year, I started coaching like Little League a little bit. After I graduated, I started to just kind of volunteer as a coach for the varsity football team. And then when I came to college at the University of Nevada, I took a job on the support staff with the football team. So I got to be around some really smart individuals. My first fall there, I worked with our defensive coordinator, who's now a linebacker coach at Arizona. And so I got to learn a lot from him. And then I also got to work with our offensive line coach, who was a former Rose Bowl champ at USC. And now he's a coach for the offensive line for the Nike opening showcase. And so that showed me a lot of areas in regards to the offensive line and defensive technique in general. And just my like kind of love for the draft, I think, came in 2007. So I'll drop another name, Jamarcus Russell.
We're like 5 minutes into the podcast, and we've got a DHB name drop and a Jamarcus name drop. Yeah, we're off to a rough start.
I'm stressed out.
Yeah. So I mean, the you know, my team had the number one overall pick, so I kind of immersed myself in the draft process, even though I was, you know, just like in elementary school or junior high. I don't really remember.
So the big question here, were you a Jamarcus fan?
It's public, and I hate to say it publicly for everyone to hear, but I did want, I thought a big, strong quarterback was exactly what the team needed.
All right. In his defense, timeout. Everybody, you know what? Jamarcus was a can't miss, and that was largely the consensus.
Bro.
So I don't feel bad, because I wanted Jamarcus too, but
someone's got to go on YouTube, man, and find
can't miss the syrup.
Someone made a compilation, like, highlight video, man, I'll never forget, and someone put that Nas track behind it, like Hero or something like that.
Yeah,
bro, that shit got me fired up, and I was a Jamarcus fan off the YouTube highlight alone.
Bro, I'm telling you.
I wanted, you know, it's not much better. I really, truthfully, wasn't a Jamarcus fan, but the guy I did want wasn't really much better, and that was Brady Quinn. So, you know, either way, I would have struck out.
That's the Notre Dame fan in you.
07 was weird.
Exactly.
Let's just move on.
I remember John Gruden talking about how Jamarcus Russell was on his knees and threw a ball 70 like yards,
yeah,
dead on, and everybody was like, what the fuck? Like, this is Star Wars, you know? And, I was excited. We were all excited, you know. In hindsight, Megatron would have been the better choice.
Maybe.
But maybe anybody would have been the better choice. But you really can't get mad at a dude for saying that, you know, he was excited about Jamarcus.
Yeah.
But
every Raider pick, you kind of like talk yourself into, like,
right, oh, exactly.
Yeah. Even now that I'm into it, like, any pick that's made, I'll be on YouTube watching film straight away, or finding some way I can watch the guy and talking myself into him until he doesn't prove himself.
Jahard Ward included?
He can the garbage, the tip, I don't know how you say it over there.
What?
I think that works.
Was that some New Zealand trash talk? What did you say? Garbage the tip? Is that what you said?
Yeah. So the tip is, you know, where they take all the rubbish and it gets broken down. That's where he deserves to be. He blocked me on Twitter, by the way. I'm sorry.
All right, all right.
I'm gonna have to use that one.
All right. Well,
ride his ass, bro.
Let's go ahead and get started because we have a lot to get to. Most of today's episode will focus on the draft. But before we get to that, let's just touch on free agency a little bit. There's some pretty big news today with a fella named Marshawn Lynch. But let's go ahead and talk about the other free agent class. So, fellas, who was your favorite free agent signing so far?
I'll start. I'll kick it off by saying of the five guys that the Raiders have signed, my favorite pick, my favorite signing was Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't think he's probably going to have maybe the biggest impact of everyone, but I was just a big fan of Cordarrelle coming out of the draft, and I think he adds another element to this offense that, you know, hopefully can take them from being maybe the fifth or sixth ranked offense to, you know, top three perhaps. You know, he's going to compete, come in right away, be the fourth wide receiver, potentially compete for wide receiver three. So if he can take away, you know, some snaps from Seth Roberts, that's definitely a good thing. He's the best kick returner in the NFL. That's going to move Rashard over to punt returns and give us one of the better, you know, 1-2 combos in that regard in the league. And if Todd Downing wants to get creative, Cordarrelle's got like a 6 yards per carry average for his career. You know, he can run the ball in reverses and definitely do some things. So he just adds another element to the offense that I'm, you know, excited to see happen. So that's my favorite of the five.
Who do you got, Seth?
I'd probably say Jelani Jenkins. From a positional group that's just so devoid of talent and production in general, he'll have a chance to come in right away, and you know he is talented. So if he can stay healthy, he could contribute right away.
Ryan, my man, who you got?
I kind of like Jared Cook. I mean, I think Derek Carr was vocal when obviously, you know, Patterson was signed and kind of backed that signing, and then obviously did the same for Cook. But I just think, you know, Rivera was such a middle of the road talent, and again, Cook hasn't really, you know, necessarily impressed over his career. But I think going from Rodgers to Carr, I mean, we're not going to talk about that, but I mean, I think this is obviously still a good offense and a good spot for him to produce. So I think the stars might align in that regard. So
yeah, he did upgrade quarterbacks. I agree.
All right, Ty dollar sign. Wait, would it be dollar? It wouldn't be dollar sign. What is the currency in New Zealand? I know that's a dumb question, but
it's dollars. It is dollars. Is it? We just use New Zealand dollars. Oh, so you are. So, yeah.
Okay, so Ty New Zealand dollar sign. Who you got?
I'm gonna have to agree with Seth. Over at Just Blog Baby, we're setting up this kind of board, and I've been grading all the linebackers in the draft and our linebackers in general. And the position is just, like, there's 10 guys grading out higher than our linebacking core right now. It's very weak, and I just don't know how we can't address it in the draft. And Jelani had a peak season, so he's showing flashes, and hopefully he can get healthy and perform for the Raiders in silver and black.
All right, well, let's talk about the flip side. Who are our least favorite free agent signings? We'll start with whoever wants to go. Nick.
I'll take it. I'll say my least favorite free agent signing was Ryan's favorite, Jared Cook. I mean, I'm okay with that. I don't like hate it necessarily, but just of the five, that's who I would have to pick. I think the cliche is he is what he is at this point. I mean, 8-9 seasons in. He's always just kind of had shaky hands, so route runner. I mean, he's going to be good for maybe 40 catches at his peak, which is, you know, decent production. It just seems like I think he's probably a little bit overpaid, and I mean, I'm just okay with that signing. I think Walford probably deserved another opportunity to start. You know, I'm definitely in the camp that his role changed when Lee Smith got hurt. So we really didn't get to see everything that, you know, he had to offer last year. So, you know, that's not one that I love, I guess. So if I had to pick one, it would be him.
Seth, who you got?
I'd probably go with Marshall Newhouse. I mean, I don't really hate any of these signings. They're all kind of, you know, lackluster guys for the most part. But, you know, it's just kind of just kind of a boring signing. I think there were plenty of decent offensive linemen out there, and, you know, he was one of them. But it's just, you know, kind of leaves a lot to be desired there.
Right, right. Ryan, who you got?
I guess I could probably agree with Newhouse. I don't think he's very good, but again, for what he's here for, you know what I mean? I imagine a depth signing. I think Del Rio came out and said he's going to have a crack at the right tackle spot, but I think you kind of pay him what you pay him, and you kind of hope that he's just, at the end of the day, just good depth. So again, probably a boring signing to most, which, you know, that's kind of where I would go with it.
Ty, I need a take.
I'll have to say Cook. We're doubling down on Newhouse and Cook, but it's just because of the talent in the draft this year, and they re-signed Gabe Holmes and Heavily Smith, Clive Wolford. I just don't feel like he adds that much. He could prove me wrong. It seems like he's always going to have a breakout year, but never breaks out. So I just
yes,
have a feeling.
Six or seven years in a row, it's been like that. Jared Cook, breakout year coming up. But you know what? This is the year. This is the year.
We've been saying that for a decade. This is definitely the year, though. Reggie McKenzie's last signing was on March 20th. So that was a little bit ago. It was EJ Manuel and Jelani Jenkins actually on the same day. The Raiders were linked to Zach Brown for a little bit, but he ended up signing with the Washington Redskins because they gave him a little cash. But Marshawn is back in the news, and he's been linked to the Raiders. It sounds like it's going to happen. What do you think?
And I think I've said in the last couple episodes that it just feels inevitable to me that Marshawn's going to sign. I mean, I guess I'm curious to see if, you know, for some reason the Raiders decide that they just want to trade a pick for him. Hopefully it's nothing more than a sixth. But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like all systems go for Marshawn. Just a couple details to work out, restructuring the contract, just coming to terms there. I'm sure it's going to be I would hope maybe a 2-year deal just with low base salary, heavy incentives. And, you know, if he performs, he gets paid. If he doesn't perform, you know, doesn't really get paid. So that way it's not, you know, debilitating to the team in any way. But yeah, I mean, I probably couldn't be more excited. Marshawn is my personal favorite, like, non-Raiders player probably ever. So just kind of the fan in me is mm-hmm. quite excited for that. And, you know, even outside of that, trying to speak objectively about it, I think he's got plenty left to offer, and I think he's a great fit in the offense. So, you know, if this can officially get done, which it sounds like it will, hopefully any day now, you know, I'm pumped about it.
Any other thoughts from the gallery?
Marshawn is Marshawn. Like, he's a charismatic guy off the field. He brings, obviously, it with being from Oakland. There are questions. He's 30, you know, coming up 30 years old, I think, and is he going to be what he was at Seattle? We don't know, but as Nick said, he fits in this offense, gives us power back. It's a good draft class. I feel, even if we do get Marshawn, need to draft a guy. But, yeah, let it happen.
Yeah, you actually bring up a good point there, a question I want to ask, you know, whoever wants to answer it. If the Raiders do trade for or sign Marshawn, either way, if he ends up on the team, do you see the Raiders drafting a running back still?
I think they have to.
You think they have to?
Like, you can't put all your chips in one basket. You've got to keep your options open. They could play him this year, and he looks like Adrian Peterson last year.
What do you think, Seth? Do you think they draft a running back if Marshawn comes on board?
You know, it's tough to say. I can see it going both ways. It doesn't really make sense to carry four running backs on the roster, five if you include Jermaine Olawale. I almost think that you just kind of roll with Rashard and Washington. And, you know, if Lynch can't pan out, then maybe you can go about trying to sign somebody mid-season, or maybe just hand the reins to Rashard, you know, and see if he can carry the work, you know, be the workhorse for you. I kind of think that he can. If it was me, I'd probably almost pass up on running backs if I could, even though it's a great class. It's just a lot of a lot to invest in your roster when you only have, you know, 53 spots to carry that many running backs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What do you think, Ryan?
Man, I'm about as big of a Jalen Richard fan as you're gonna find. You know, having said that, I mean, I think he's best in that change of pace, change of pace type running back role. Not to say that he can't be the workhorse, you know, three down type back, but I just think that you're gonna get better production and more of those dynamic plays if he's just, you know what I mean, in that change of pace role. So I'm not drafting running back because I have guys like Richard and DeAndre Washington. Yeah, you know, it's not smart to carry. It's not common to carry four or five backs, whatever the case may be. But I think we're all expecting the Marshawn deal to be what, a 1, maybe 2 year deal. So, you know, adding him and kind of ignoring the position and not looking ahead, again, just seems kind of short-sighted. I think there's gonna be some good value late. So I think it would be smart for the Raiders and Reggie McKenzie to still add, you know, and I'm sure we're going to talk about some of these options in a little bit. Go ahead.
Now you go.
Oh, I was just going to add a little note on Marshawn. I know that folks are concerned that is he 31 or he's turning 31?
Yeah, I think he's 31.
But he's essentially had a season and a half off. So that takes a little wear off the tires, but I think that there's something about him playing in Oakland that'll kind of like ignite him. You know what I mean? He's really excited to play in his hometown, and he's basically said that this is the only place that he wants to play. And as we say in the Bay, like, I really expect this dude to like get hyphy and go dumb this season. Like I really expect him to have a good season, but you know, we'll see.
I'm with you.
All right, let's move on to some draft talk since we have the draft guys. One thing we haven't done yet is positional rankings, and we got the two draft Knicks in the house, so let's do that. We'll start with running backs. Seth, give me your top five.
All right, I'd probably go, I think the top is kind of a close, like 1A, 1B, and running back is a very subjective position, particularly based on the scheme that you're running and kind of the type of build and running back that you're looking for. But in terms of overall talent, I think I'd probably go Cook and McCaffrey right there. Woo! 1 and 2. and then followed by Fournette, even though, you know, I don't think that he's a natural running back. You know, his physical ability and production kind of speaks for itself, and I think you kind of have to take a chance on that and just see what he can do. Following that, I think that there's a fairly dramatic drop off, and for the record, I'm not going to be I'm not going to be mentioning Joe Mixon. I don't think it's worth it to talk about him. But following those three, I think there's a group of backs that are kind of close together, depending on what you're looking for, with, you know, Jamal Williams and Marlon Mack and Kareem Hunt and Dante Foreman, and I'm sure I'm missing a few, but there's kind of a stable of backs there that are all going to be graded pretty closely together, and it's kind of just going to be what you're looking for.
Tyler, I know you just did a lot of work on the running backs today. Tyler's going to have a top five running backs article coming out probably in tomorrow or the next day or two. What do you have for your top five?
I've got McCaffrey number one. Everyone's worried about his size, but skill isn't size isn't a skill. What he does on the field is his skill, and he's just lightning. He does everything. He can destroy your defensive game plan that you've tried to execute. He can do everything you want. He can run between the tackles. People say he's a finesse player, but he played at frickin' Stanford, where they've got, you know, 10 linemen on the field. I just don't get the questions about him. It's because he's white, I think. If he was a different color, people would be rating him higher, and he'd be the number one back.
People think he's Danny Woodhead.
Exactly.
Like, legitimately.
But and again, Danny Woodhead is a good player, and if he was a different shade, he would have got more chance to run in this league, but. And he's, what, on his third contract, so those players do hang around. He can attack you in many ways. Big McCaffrey fan. Followed by him is Aaron Jones out of UTEP. He's my second ranked running back.
Number two.
That's a hot take. Yes, that's my hot take. he reminds me of Jordan Howard. And you saw Jordan Howard run all over the league last year for the Bears. He's their one bright spot going into this year. Runs with power, speed, can beat you in the receiving game. He's got some flaws and level of competition questions, but he got 100-plus yards versus every top Power 5 team that he went against, including Texas this year. He also tested as a 8.1 athlete, and as Seth knows, that's elite NFL athlete. And then following him, Fournette, Cook, and Hunt. I think Fournette has just been overthought. It's because he's overhyped, though. There needs to be a middle ground there that I just don't think the media can't seem to find middle ground on any prospect or anything like that. And then Cook, he got my top film grade. It's just questions with his athleticism, the way he had a real bad combine, so that lowers him in the grading system. And then he's had three shoulder surgeries between his two shoulders. So with his running style, you kind of need to weigh up, will he make that second contract? And then fifth, I've got Kareem Hunt, who's just fun to watch, runs into contact, and he ain't scared.
So let's find out, Ryan, who are your second through fifth ranked running backs?
Kareem Hunt's also my fifth ranked running back. I just think he's got really, really good balance, and that stuff to me is really important. I think his hands are there, and he's able to create in the open field, I think, running through tackles, as Tyler alluded to. So I got Hunt at five. For me at four, I got, again, this might be a hot take to some, but I really like Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee. I think a lot of people look at him and they see the lack of, sample size, didn't get a ton of work at Tennessee, obviously transferred in, some off the field, character type questions, leaving Alabama, et cetera. But, if Kareem Hunt's got really good balance, I think Kamara possesses the best balance in the class. Again, really, really good hands, feisty in pass protection. So for me, just a really complete running back, doesn't have a lot of wear on the tires, so kind of flip that narrative and kind of spin it the other way. And the top three for me, Cook, Joe Mixon, and of course Christian McCaffrey, the young handsome prince.
so no Leonard Fournette there in the top five?
Nah, Fournette for me, man, again, probably another hot take. I have Fournette at seven. Personally, so he's right below Kareem Hunt, and I have Marlon Mack at six, and then that's when I slot in Leonard Fournette. Fournette, again, as Tyler and Seth might have alluded to, I think Fournette is a lot more scheme dependent than any other majority of these other running backs in the class. I think he obviously needs, people will say he needs a runway, he needs a fullback in front of him. So a lot of people see Oakland's offensive line, and I think you can place any number of running backs behind this offensive line. They're going to be productive, but Oakland likes to do a lot of work out of shotgun, as do teams like Carolina, who I've seen him get mocked to. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Not to say he's going to be a bad player, that he's a bad player, but I just don't think, like many of others said, I don't think he's going to really warrant the kind of hype. So
I'll just run quickly through mine. I've got Kareem Hunt I got Hunt four, Kamara five, and then Dalvin three. I got Leonard Fournette too. I think he's a good football player. I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. I just feel like it's kind of become trendy, I think, to dislike him amongst many, at least. Just a lot of people say that he doesn't have like lateral agility or quickness, and he can't bounce outside or these various things. And I watch a couple games of him, and I see him do all of those things, and I see him do all of them really well, including just throwing people off of him left and right. So I think he's going to be a good football player. And then I do have Christian McCaffrey number one, kind of what great Tyler said. Hope. Christian McCaffrey number one.
What did Ryan call him? Christian the Sweet Prince McCaffrey?
No, I think he said sweet.
The young handsome prince. I called him handsome, man. About Christian, we got to talk about how handsome he is.
He is handsome.
He's so handsome.
We do have to give him credit for that.
He's a really good looking dude.
All right. You know what? Time out. Okay. We're switching to wide receivers. All right. The Raiders signed my boy, I call him Corduroy Patterson, to replace Andre Holmes. But can you guys see McKenzie drafting a wide receiver? Tyler, who do you got in your top five?
For me, it starts as Ross from Washington. He's just got that elite trait, speed. If Al Davis was alive, we'd all be maybe penciling that pick in.
We'd be sharpening that pick in.
Like, guys that have that trump card, as Matt Harmon from NFL.com talks about, those guys that have that trump card, they always seem to stay in the league. Look at Ted Ginn. Speed matters in the NFL. Tyreek Hill, he ran all over the league last year. Just being the fastest guy on the field matters. And Fred Ross isn't just a speed guy. I like his breaks in and out of his routes. I really do feel he's a good receiver. He's got knee issues. That does bring questions. Second, I have Corey Davis out of Central Michigan. You could argue with me he's number one. He's got a mix of everything. Reminds me of Dez Bryant at times. And then third, I've got Curtis Samuel, Ohio State. Bit biased there being a Buckeye fan, but I feel like he can be used in a variety of ways out of the backfield. JT Barrett was terrible last year. Ohio State fans want his head at times, but I think Samuel made a lot more plays that weren't thrown to him. And then fourth, I have Jones. What Jones is that?
Zay Jones.
Zay Jones, yep. Sorry, I've just got the last names on my pad here.
And, I don't know if you're like asking us a question.
Zay Jones? East Carolina. He's similar to Jarvis Landry. And then fifth, I have Juju, who I really feel might be a bit better pro than where he's taken.
Seth, you got top five receivers?
Sure. I'll just run through it pretty quickly. Number one, I have Corey Davis. Very versatile, does a lot of things well. TD mentioned that he reminds him of Dez Bryant, and to me, it kind of reminds me of Antonio Brown, so that should tell you, he's got a wide range of abilities. Next, I have Mike Williams, a big-bodied guy, he's a world-class athlete because he doesn't play in the NFL, but by NFL standards, he's not the most incredible athlete, but very talented. Then I'll take John Ross, 3. I'll go Zay Jones, 4. And then fifth is kind of,
So the Raiders were dead last in sacks in 2016, and with Alden's status up in the air, let's be real, he's probably not coming back. Adding a pass rusher probably won't hurt. Who are your top five? We'll start with Nick.
Well, I think it probably depends if we're calling some of the defensive ends like pass rushers or edge rushers. So, I mean, Myles Garrett in that case would definitely be number one. Solomon Thomas, I think, for sure, number two. So I don't think the Raiders will be in play, for obviously most of those top names. So more realistically, maybe TJ Watt, if he's there towards the end of the first round, obviously a big time athlete. And the lineage there, a lot of people will be drawn to. And then I would say, Carl Lawson might be another one to watch. He's kind of got mixed reviews. He was a big college name. I think a lot of people had him as like a, surefire first rounder when he was, killing it at Auburn. And then he's kind of fallen off the map a little bit, but still a player that I like a lot. Probably just end it there. For me, I'm not as much of a fan of Tack McKinley or Charles Harris. I think those two in particular are a bit overrated. Not too big of a fan of either their size or their athleticism, one or the other. So, I think it'll be, if anything, if we have pass rushers, it'll be a little bit later in the draft.
All right, Ty, who you got?
Well, Garrett, number one, obviously. Hot take alert. I have Jordan Willis at 2. I like his ability. Solomon Thomas, he's I'm a big fan of him. I just he obviously played inside. So there's a lot of projection with him out on the edge. For the people that say he's a defensive tackle, you need to watch the tape, as they say. But Willis tested as an elite athlete. He got the production. He just comes out well through the grader. Then I have Rivers at four. Derek Rivers from Youngstown State. I know Seth isn't a fan, but I feel like he has the ability to perform on in the NFL with his pass rush moves and his ability. And then I have Watt at fifth. Lawson would probably be my underrated guy, and I have to say my overrated guy would be Taco Charlton. He is the Michigan man on that defensive line who should not be talked about.
No love for Taco, huh?
No.
He's got a good name, though.
It's a great name.
Yeah. First round name.
All right. Well, I mean, we know that McKenzie's had success with late round defensive tackles, and obviously the Raiders aren't, they're probably not going to be able to draft guys like Myles Garrett. So are there any late round gems that the Raiders should be looking at in this class? What do you got, Seth?
For late round gems go, there are quite a few guys. There are some small guys and small school guys rather. And I kind of wanted to plug my system, the search system that I posted to JBB not too long ago, which is a system that it's kind of a metric that I made to try to predict success of the pass rusher position. And so a guy that stood out that's going to be a surge player is Samson Ebukam. I'm not really sure how to say his name.
Sounds like a fake name.
It does. He's from Eastern Washington, but he's a crazy athlete. And he's going to be like a surge star. So, the surge system has been able to successfully predict some late round guys that have elite athletic traits. And for example, he's one of them that I think could sneak into the later rounds that could be a steal.
Have you trademarked the search system?
I have not. I should.
Oh, you should do that.
If you know any lawyers, let me know.
Go do that right now.
Shout out to Rock Thunder Punch. Hit that guy up on Twitter. That's JBB's legal counsel.
The homie.
We have one retainer.
Who else do we got in the bottom of the draft that you think the Raiders could pick up to help them on the D line?
I like I'll let Tyler go. You been watching the defensive tackles?
Yeah, Warmly. I'm a big fan of Warmly out of Michigan. He should be the defender talked about out of that whole defense. He can play 5-tech, 3-tech. He's athletic as hell. Just a good football player, sound, played many positions for Michigan. He's a sound player. And DJ Jones out of Ole Miss, he started the year off, and if you put on his tape in the start of the year, you'll just be blown away about how fast he gets penetration. He's into the backfield, uses his hands well. He kind of faded at the end of the year. I feel that's why he's probably not talked about as much. But Ole Miss DJ Jones is one of my favorites later on.
What happened to Jaleel Johnson? Remember, everybody was just loving that dude, and I think some people were even putting him in the first round. And it feels like no one's got love for Jaleel anymore.
He's so good.
Yeah.
No, I still love Jaleel. I feel like he's not going to be the flash player that most fans will be a fan of, but he's that guy who will just be there making, you know, holding his spot on the line, hitting his gap, making the tackle. So that's the type of player he is. Consistent.
Let's talk about the position that Raider Nation would say is the biggest need on defense. It's the linebacker position. Who are your top five at that position? We'll start with Nick.
So, Reuben Foster, easy number one, probably the easiest position to rank in the entire draft. Number two for me is going to be Raekwon, aka Baekwon McMillan, from the Baekwon. Ohio State University. yeah, number two inside linebacker for me. I mean, how old is he, Tyler? 20? Or is he 21? 20-year-old, ton of experience, productive athlete. I mean, he's going to pretty much check all of the boxes for McKenzie. I mean, I know a lot of people ideally love him, you know, as a second round option, and, you know, that would be fantastic. But for the Raiders pick in particular, I mean, we're not picking in the top five anymore, so I don't think he'll be there in the second round. So if McKenzie wants him, he could be a guy that he would have to take at 24, I would think. And then Gerard mm-hmm. Davis, number three, Anthony Walker, number four. And number five, I mean, I don't think it's a very strong inside linebacker class myself. You know, maybe Kendall Beckwith. But, you know, if the first three are really the studs, and even from there, I think it drops off. I'm going to kick it over to Ryan, though. I know you just posted your linebacker rankings pretty recently.
Yeah, I got a... I got the top two for me are the same. I mean, obviously Foster is consensus across the board. I also have Raekwon at two. And then for me at three, I go, I'm going Cunningham out of Vanderbilt, a guy that a lot of different mock drafts and media personnel like are linking to Oakland as early as 24. Production was crazy in the SEC, but again, a lot of people are going to talk about obviously the missed tackles. For me, he plays really high, which leads to kind of the missed tackles. So he's coming at number three for me. Below him at four, I got Hassan Reddick out of Temple. Again, a player that, you know, some people like him coming off the edge more so than, you know, playing in the middle, playing on the outside. So he's a player that's just obviously tested, that's out of his mind. So a really good athlete. And then at five, I have Anthony Walker Jr. out of Northwestern as well. Again, not a really strong linebacker class. If Jalen Reeves-Maybin is healthy, that was my guy out of Tennessee until, you know, he got hurt. But so it'd be nice to see him healthy. So we'll see.
Yeah, see, I didn't have Reddick in mind just because I would love for him to play in the inside. I just have a hard time seeing him playing there, or maybe not even necessarily that. I just think he'll probably be best in other areas. And Cunningham, for me, I think he's my most overrated linebacker pick. I mean, he was productive, and he does some things well, but he's at the end of the day, he's a linebacker that struggles to tackle, and I just feel like he's going to be Malcolm Smith all over again in that regard, and, you know, that's not just anything I want to be a part of.
Who do you got, Seth?
So me and Tyler, the way we grade linebackers like this is any linebacker that's not on line of scrimmage, we call an off-ball linebacker. So this is not necessarily just inside. There's some outside guys there. But my number one off-ball linebacker is going to be Ben Boulware. Nah, just kidding.
This podcast is over.
That was a good one.
No, yeah, it was Reuben Foster, obviously number one, followed by Hassan Reddick, who I really like athletically. And then I'm gonna keep Tyus Bowser and TJ Watt off this, even though I think that they could also play off ball linebacker. I'm gonna just move on to three
more pass rushers.
Yeah. And I'll say Raekwon for my third. Fourth, I'll say Gerard Davis, who, you know, is pretty athletic. And then fifth, I'll go with Cunningham.
All right, let's move on to the corners, I guess.
Oh, my turn.
All right.
Oh, you didn't do your linebackers? Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got pretty much the same one and two, Foster and Riddick. With Raekwon, I feel like people have kind of just taken the narrative of he can't cover and kind of run with it. He was asked to do different things year to year. 2015, his rookie freshman season, he made a lot more plays on the ball. You saw him running around. There's clips on, obviously I showed Ryan, I think, of him covering Saquon, the god, Barkley down the field on a wheel route. Ran with him step for step and stopped the play. I really do rate Raekwon and him being 20, upsides there, tested well athletically. And then I have Cunningham, as Ryan pointed to, plays really high. And For me, linebackers that don't play with their pads above in front of their knees, they're going to have a lot of issues in the NFL because it's hard for you to hit with impact playing like he does. And if he's missing tackles in college football, in the NFL, that's just going to be, how do you say it?
A disaster.
Increased?
Not, yeah. Not good.
And then fifth, I have Blair Brown out of Ohio. Mike Mitchell's alma mater, as you all know.
Aren't you worried about? Is he? He's a small guy, isn't he? I haven't really watched him.
Yes.
Isn't he undersized?
He's small. So is Jayon Brown, who a lot of people are hyping up. But Blair Brown for me is the Brown you should be watching. His first tape I put on wasn't good, I will admit, but then the more I've dug into his tape, I've become a fan of. And then, as Ryan said again, Revis Maben, big fan, used to play safety, can cover, hits like a... Oh, you could you could watch that boy hit all day.
Let's go. Yeah,
so that's my top five linebackers.
All right, well, there's another position that we know the Raiders need help at, and that is the cornerback position. The Raiders have quite a bit of money invested at cornerback, but that didn't really pan out this last season. Who are our top five cornerbacks? Because that seems like a position where Raiders might be getting some top five guys. What do you think, Ryan?
Man, I've had an up and down year watching cornerbacks, man. I came in really, really high on Jalen Tabor, man, from Florida, and I absolutely loved the tape. I did not think that he would test the way that he tested, not only at the combine, man, but obviously at Florida's pro day as well. And then so typical, man. A few days later, comes out and obviously complains about his hamstring and stuff. So. Really bad look. Again, I go back to the tape. I've gone back to the tape so many times. I can't understand what I was missing, or you know. I mean, again, the tape is still really good.
Are you saying on board the Titanic, or are you going on a lifeboat?
No, I just had to get the Tabor disclaimer out there. As far as the top cornerbacks, I'm gonna go with Lattimore at the top only because. I had Sidney Jones up there, and then of course, unfortunately, my man goes in and tears his Achilles at the pro day. So super unfortunate. So I got Lattimore up there, followed by his teammate Conley at number two. Just another really, really, really good athlete. I would say he's probably just as athletic as Lattimore, if not maybe a notch below him. Had a really, really good 2016, so could be a player that's obviously just ascending right now. So I got Lattimore, Conley. After that, I mean, I guess you could probably argue slotting in Sidney Jones there too, just depending on how comfortable you are with that Achilles injury. But you got guys like, you know, Kevin King. A lot of people are really high on. For me, might be a hot take, but I love the kid out of Colorado, Chido Bey Awuzie. For me, a lot of people see him at safety and stuff like that, but just a really, really complete corner. So I got him at three, and then Trey White out of Louisiana State, and then Kevin King, Oakland zone Kevin King at cornerback five.
Cuckoo.
I feel like you named like eight guys.
Yeah, that's what I feel like too.
All right, let's get some more cornerback rankings in here. Seth or Tyler, any of you guys want to throw yours out there?
Well, I can go. Lattimore, number one. Ohio State's just churning out defensive backs at a phenomenal rate right now. They just signed the number one and number two ranked cornerbacks in the recruiting class also, so it's going to probably be a trend. I've got Lattimore one. Awuzie is my number two ranked cornerback, so it's no hot take there for me, Ryan. He can play in the slot. He's got all the skills. I really rate that Colorado backfield. I had Fabian Moreau at three, Conley at four, and Jones would have been second. I just have to put that disclaimer in. The injury obviously has taken him off, and then I have White at five.
I've got Lattimore number one. Pretty easy one for me. I've had him as a
actually top three player on my board for quite some time now. Sidney Jones, number two. I'll keep him there and just put a little star next to his name. You know, if he can get back to where he was, that's where I would have him. Gary and Conley, number three. Then actually I'll join you guys on the Woozy hype train, number four for me. And then number five, I mean, so many different corners I think that you can slot in here. I like Marlon Humphrey myself. I don't think he's got the highest ceiling, but I think he's a good athlete. I think he can be a strong number two corner for quite a while. And he could probably even play safety. A lot of people like him there. So, you know, maybe just as a defensive backs ranking, I'm a fan. I know some people are up and down on him, but I'll throw him in there at number five. Yeah, he's physical. I mean, he can get up, he'll get up there and hit dudes. He's not afraid to do it. And I think he's quality in coverage. And like I said, a good but not great athlete. I think he's just, a strong, solid number two corner. You know, which in a passing league with all these good, you know, 1-2 wide receiver punches out there, I mean, that's valuable. It's not like it used to be. So I would gladly take him.
Just of note, Humphrey, just from little weird research I do on the draft, of all the wide receivers that have played Humphrey and a lot of the other cornerbacks in the draft, he was voted the toughest cornerback by a lot of the receivers.
I like those polls, like when they ask defensive linemen and offensive linemen who's the toughest guys to go against. I think those polls, I mean, I don't know how much value they hold necessarily or how predictive they are, but I like them. I think respect amongst your peers is important, and I think a lot of these guys, you know who the better players are, you know, for obvious reasons. So I think that,
well, especially cornerback and wide receiver, because it's
one-on-one, yeah. So that's a lot of the time. That's a good little nugget of info there. Seth, have you done your five?
Yeah. So it's you know, it's going to sound kind of repetitive. Lattimore, of course, one. I have Conley, two. Three, it's tough, and I've got a lot of guys close together, but I'll probably go Tre'Davious White there. Four, I've been a big fan of Cordarrelle Tankersley for a long time. I just, you know, I love the way he plays, the skill set, his physical makeup. And then five, I'll probably go Chidobe Awuzie too. Like you guys said, he's not necessarily a corner, but, you know, as a corner, I think he could, you know, be really good. And you could put him at nickel or wherever you wanted him, and he's just really good.
Man, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that I did not hear my boy Adoree Jackson's name one
Don't
time.
Say it.
Not one hot take. Not one.
All right, I'll say his name right now. So, in my opinion, the most overrated cornerback in the draft is Adoree Jackson.
Sir.
He said he wanted to hear his name.
How dare you? All right.
That guy's an athlete.
I will not hear another word.
Not a cornerback.
All right. Let's move on to safeties. It seems like our boy Reggie Nelson doesn't have much left in the tank. Grandpa Nelson needs a replacement pretty soon here, and that guy's not Nate Allen. Who are our top five safeties? And I'm gonna need some variation. I'm gonna need a hot take or two. We'll start with Seth.
All right, I got a hot take. Ryan's not gonna like it, but we'll get there at some point. So first off, I actually have a couple hot takes. First off, it's you know, everyone's consensus top two safeties, I think. I'm gonna say Jamal Adams and Malik Hooker. I think I'm actually gonna have Hooker slightly higher, just because of the way the league's going. Not to
range.
Say that, yeah, exactly. Range. He's got range for days.
Can't tackle.
Like elite range. And I actually think that his tackling ability is kind of overrated. I think that he's a sufficient tackler, right? We talk about thresholds, and I think he's good enough to pass the threshold of tackling ability. Jamal Adams is great too, though. You know, crazy athlete, great range. Not like the crazy elite range of Hooker, but they're neck and neck, one and two. And three, probably my first hot take is going to be, I think Marlon Humphrey could be the third best safety from this class if he were to transition to safety full time. I want him to see everything happen in front of him and just react and, you know, use his athletic ability going forward rather than backwards. And, you know, he's physical, like you guys said, and he has range. So he'd probably be my third. And then after that, you know, you could make the argument if you want about Owusu being a safety. But and then there's Obi Melifonwu from UConn, like possibly the greatest athlete that we've graded out with the grading system, Tyler. And then, you know, you've got a bunch of other good athletes and football players like Marcus Williams or Josh Jones. Those guys are all kind of clumped in back there, and along with Justin Evans, too.
Are we going to talk about the lack of Buda Baker?
Yes.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. All right. I knew exactly where you were going with it, and I'm upset. I'm really upset.
My overrated safety is probably going to be Buda Baker.
No, Seth.
I know. It is one of
Let's the talk about it. Right,
Hang on, guys. I stand with Seth.
Oh, ooh, my God.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you guys like Carl Joseph at all?
Dylan,
I love Carl Joseph.
Yeah, I love Carl Joseph. Yeah.
Because that's exactly what Buddha.
No, Buddha's a worse athlete, and
he's not as big of a hitter. He's a better athlete. He's a track star. Oh no, Dylan.
Buddha
Baker's fine, my man. Buddha, you know what? I watched my boy Buddha because I'm a Pac-10 guy. So. You know, I went to ASU and USC, and I saw Buda Baker for a good, you know, couple seasons destroying everything that moved on the field.
He's a worst athlete, bro. I'm sick to my stomach, man.
So, I would take Buda at 24, no hesitation.
I don't think he's explosive measurements, man. I think he runs in a fast and straight line. I don't think he's very explosive.
Oh no!
Yeah, exactly. His broad jump of the safeties that we graded, Tyler. I'm looking at the list now. He has the worst broad jump of any of the safeties, and his vertical was only 32.5 inches, which is nothing really.
I have a 31-inch vertical. Runs.
Exactly. There you go.
Oh no.
So if we want Nick back there,
I'm about to give you
a 31-inch vertical. You know what I'm saying?
and one of the things that I've noticed, I mean, like. We say that Malik Hooker can't tackle, and I know there's plenty of clips of Buda Baker making tackles, but there's also, I think, just as many plays where he's running full steam at a wide receiver or tight end and gets no backwards momentum. He bounces off of him, or he has to stop his feet.
He's a launcher.
He's a launcher, and he doesn't really get momentum that can take guys down, even when he gets a full head of steam.
Hmm. Interesting.
He's a dog, man. He finds the ball.
Exactly.
I disagree on the athlete. Some testing can be a bit thingy. I won't make any excuses for that though. But on his tape for me, I'd disagree.
Behind what Jamal Adams and Malik Hooker, Buddha's got to be the third best safety in the class. He's got to be. I mean, that's not even optional right now.
Obi, Marcus Williams, Josh Jones, Eddie Jackson,
Eddie Jackson is a good one. I disagree.
What the hell? The show's gone off the rails at this point.
Jump the shark.
Eddie Jackson had 20 first round picks in front of him. Of course he's gonna look good.
True. All right, where are we at, man? We went off the rails right now.
Let's talk about Jabril then.
Top five. Do we have to waste our time on this? Bring this thing all the way down. Yeah.
All right. Let's.
Why do we have to?
Let's
talk
about. Let me switch it up. Let's talk about a safety at sleeper. Who do you think that Reggie McKenzie might be able to find late? How about that?
Buda Baker.
Oh no.
Tedrick. I'll calm this all down. Tedrick Thompson, Colorado.
That's Ryan's boy, right?
I like
Tedrick as well. I do. I think he's got the best ball skills in the class, personally.
Best ball skills. Yeah.
He does have concussion questions, but on the field, the tape he put up, he gave both those corners, Owusu and Witherspoon, a lot of help, and he did it well. He can come down, tackle, play a variety of ways. He's just a more all-around player than, say, someone like Williams who is more just a rangy guy, where Thompson, I feel, can give you a better all-around game.
Did any of you guys watch Monte Nicholson? Is that Michigan State?
And you guys watch him?
Yep.
What do you think?
Yep. He's got explosion to his game. I actually like the way he plays. Every time I would watch Ohio State versus Michigan State, he's the guy that annoys me because he's making a play and then celebrating it. You know how you're a fan of a team and, you know, a rival team. You know, you guys know what mm-hmm. I mean? That guy that's making plays and he's celebrating it and you're like, fuck you, guy.
Let's do a mini speed draft, I guess you'll say. We'll start in the first round and then we'll go through the subsequent rounds. I want each of you to give me the player you like in that round. So we'll start with Tyler, round one. Go, who you got the Raiders picking at number 24?
Raekwon McMillan, Ohio State.
I like that. Ryan, you are on the clock, sir.
And now just to confirm, I'm going 24-56 here.
Yeah, you're going 56. Second round.
I'm going 56. At 56, I like Trey White.
Trey White.
Cornerback.
All right. Nick, you are on the clock, sir. Pick 88, third round.
Quick question. Do you guys think there's any chance Sidney Jones is going to fall that far or no?
Yeah.
I think so.
You think he will? Right. I'll take Sidney Jones. I'll double up. Take another corner. Best player left.
Seth, you are in the fourth. That is pick 129.
All right. How about Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive tackle from Alabama?
All right. We'll do a little snake situation. Seth, you go again, round five, pick 168.
Okay. How about we take a safety and we'll go with, Tedrick Thompson.
Okay. Who do we got here? Nick, round six, pick 208.
I'll go... Markel Lee, Wake Forest linebacker.
I was going to say, we don't have any linebackers yet.
Yeah.
Good pick. Next would be Ryan. Ryan, this is the first seventh round pick at 242. Who do you got?
I don't think he's going to be there because, I mean, I'm really high on him. Aaron Jones, running back, UTEP.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be there. But Tyler, who do you got with the seventh round pick at 244? This is the Raiders' last pick, assuming it's not traded for Marshawn or something like that.
I'll have to go Andrew Wiley, Eastern Michigan, the number one athlete at offensive tackle.
Okay, I like that. I actually like that. That's a good pick. We talked about Marshawn Lynch earlier, but a name that's been connected with Marshawn is his teammate in Seattle, Richard Sherman. It seems like he seems to be in the mix for a trade. Ed Werder and others have said that him and Marshawn could team up somewhere. And New England had been connected, but New England just traded for a top cornerback. Could you see McKenzie making a move for Richard Sherman? And if it were up to you, what would you trade?
Yeah, I'll let Ryan take this one.
All right. So we kind of got into it earlier, obviously, on Twitter. Here's my take. I would, if I was a GM, I would personally flip a first rounder for Richard Sherman currently. Do I think Reggie McKenzie's gonna trade a pick? No. Again, Reggie's been on record a handful of times. I believe Vic Tafer, the San Francisco Chronicle there, he's been on record. You know, Reggie covets picks 1, 2, and 3. You know, those first three rounds are his money picks. He's very hesitant, very reluctant to give those picks up. So even if, as good as I think Richard Sherman is, I think he's 100% worth a first round pick, regardless of money, regardless of, you know, the age and all that stuff. To me, it makes a ton of sense. So I would be all in. You grab Marshawn, you grab Richard Sherman, but at the end of the day, is it realistic for to expect McKenzie to do that? Probably not.
Get David Emerson out of here, man.
Garbage. Garbage.
That's my take.
So
I'll try flick him off to Seattle somewhere for Sherman.
What pick, if any, what pick would you guys give up for Sherman if any? Tyler, what would you do?
Third round that can turn into a second, maybe a third this year and a third that can turn into a second from before.
What about you, Seth?
They kind of have those deals, don't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. This kind of might end up being a hot take, but I don't know if I'd give up a pick for him. Personally, what? I think that if he was a free agent, I don't know if Reggie McKenzie would give him $13 million a year. And you kind of have to look at that cap hit and say, you know, is it worth it to bring that on? Because, you know, if you trade for him, you're going to have to bring on that number. You know, Reggie was hesitant to even sign, like, Zach Brown, who got, like, almost no guaranteed money. I think it would be tough, you know, if Sherman came knocking on the door and said he wanted $13 million a year, I don't know if Reggie would bite, and I don't know if I would either. So yeah. I think it's tough to give up something in addition to that.
So here's.
Well, that's why I say trade Emerson. So that's why I say trade Emerson, and that give him some of that money.
So here's the deal with too, like with something that exactly what Seth was just touching on. A lot of people aren't really considering. I mean, is the money? It's quite a bit. $13 million this year, next year, and as it currently stands, the Raiders have about $31 million in cap space. But first year cap hits for Derek Carr and Gabe Jackson, their extensions, it affects cap this year, not next offseason. It's this year, and it's going to be about $23 million for Carr, probably about $8 million for Gabe, and that $31 million is just dried up just like that. So you know, it's going to be tough to squeeze in Sherman's deal if it is a package deal or if McKenzie wants to do it. He'd probably have to cut Reggie Nelson, Dan Williams, and you know, maybe Sean Smith, and those may not be bad things, but it's just a lot of moving parts, I think, to try to make someone like Sherman fit, who is about to turn 30 anyway. You know, he's still sharp, but he's a depreciating asset at this point. So I don't think I'd give anything more than like a mid-late pick, you know, if that, because you have to, again, consider the money. So I just have a hard time seeing that one happening. And Marshawn, you know, I think McKenzie might just deal maybe a sixth-round pick just to do business with his buddy John Schneider. But yeah, I don't see Sherman happening.
How much money is Sean Smith making right now?
Was about $10 million a year, I think.
And if the Raiders cut him, what's the hit on that?
I believe a couple million is in dead money, like 3 or so. So it's not.
So, like, I mean, you know, I'm not a cap guru or anything, but I feel like I would definitely cut Sean Smith and maybe Emerson and Reggie Nelson to bring in Richard Sherman. I mean, maybe that's just me, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
so he's a $9.5 million cap hit, but the dead money is $9.25 million. So it's
ooh.
A lot.
Ooh, yeah,
oh, just kidding.
Oh, so, yeah, so his contract must have become guaranteed then when the new league year started. So, yeah, there goes that. Cool.
That's that.
Sean Smith, 2017.
And that's that. And just like that's that with the podcast. Thanks for joining us this week, fellas.
Yeah, let's give a plug real quick here to Tyler. His Twitter handle TDGAWD, and then Seth. Yours is just Seth Murray or Seth Murphy BBD now, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, bigboarddraft.com, and then also they both do work for JBB here. So go and check out their work. We'll have some draft content hitting the site soon. So, yeah, thanks, fellas. BBB. Thanks, fellas, for coming on. We appreciate it. And
Big Booty Dames.
Yeah.
Nick, go ahead and hit him with the plug.
Which one?
With the outro.
That's not me. That's you, my friend.
You're going to make me do this?
Oh, yeah.
All
right, well, that'll do it for this episode of the Just Blog Baby podcast. Follow us along on Twitter at Just Blog Baby. We're on all sorts of different media. You know what I mean?
Tell them. Which ones?
On Apple iTunes.
iTunes.
Spotify?
Okay. Who says that? Apple iTunes.
Apple iTunes.
It's like saying,
you know what? See, this is why I don't want to do the outro ever, because you guys just
no one has ever said subscribe to us on Apple iTunes.
You know what?
Yeah,
would you let me live?
Five star reviews.
All right, folks.
Five star reviews only.
We will catch you next week.
That'll do it. On Apple iTunes.
Salute.